Welcome to the Voice of Freedom, a ministry of Ground Up Grace, where the daily message frees you for forgiven living.
Freedom for forgiven living is grounded at the cross, where Jesus takes all your sins upon himself and gives you, in exchange, his abounding grace. Let's listen together and see where his grace frees us today.
Today is Thursday, the 12th of January.
From Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. So now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? Only to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul.
And the second word for today is from 1 John chapter 2, verse 5. Whoever obeys his word, truly in this person, the love of God has reached perfection.
All right. Welcome to the basement of Western Theological Seminary in Holland, Michigan. I'm Nathan Hoff. Usually I'm joined by the Theta community, but I'm traveling this week with a group of friends that we're in a common educational endeavor here at the seminary. And just thought I'd introduce them. Some of the voices you've heard before, but really grateful to have my friend Matt. Matt, tell me your name and kind of where you're from, what you're doing.
Sure. I'm Matt Erickson. I'm the senior pastor at Eastbrook Church in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Wonderful. And tell a little bit what you're studying here in your project.
Sure. Yeah. We're part of this Doctor of Ministry program, and I'm exploring how to complement the image of the pastor as a shepherd with the pastor as a gardener or farmer.
I love it. I love it. You just reached the hearts of a number of the listeners I know who are also gardeners and farmers. So
yes.
That's a wonderful thing. And then let's just go around the table and say who we are and where we're from.
Yep. John Anderson from Peace Lutheran Church in Post Falls, Idaho.
All right. Good to have you back, John.
Good to be with you.
Jeremy King from Shepherd of the Valley in Afton, Minnesota.
Good to have you, Jeremy. I know some of your folks listen to this podcast, so
that's
hi
right.
to them.
Yeah.
And Dave Wallen from Faith Lutheran Church in Hutchinson.
Also, some of your folks listen too, and so good to have you guys here. Yeah, these passages from Deuteronomy, which means second law, actually, and then from 1 John 2, 5, good conversation started on that. John, I like what you said about how God is addressing them as they are. You want to say something about that?
Sure, the idea that all of these what can come across as instructions or commands are always framed first by God's claim upon that these are for his people. These are the ones he has chosen and claimed, and his love is being perfected in them. And as a response, if at best, here's what that life looks like in him because we are his.
Yeah. Israel's not just a nation. They're his, right?
Right.
Yeah. And I was thinking of something that we study a lot of the writings of Eugene Peterson, and you know, one thing he says is sometimes it's a job of a Christian community leader to just stand in the middle of a community and just name the name God,
right.
Kind of reminded me of what you were saying. Matt,
it's like both of these passages that we're looking at out of Deuteronomy and First John are both about orientation. Are we oriented toward ourselves, or are we oriented toward other things that call out for attention, or are we fundamentally oriented toward God? Is our attention towards him? Are we hearing his word to us? And I think both of the passages kind of arrest the attention and bring it back to God.
They do it, and yet when I just hear it kind of in my old nature, I kind of look for my bootstraps, you know what I mean? Like, in my orientation in some ways naturally goes for, okay, here's something I got to do, you know? But just that that kind of sober, this is God speaking.
Yeah.
And it is God's nature that he's calling us actually to and to live in. It's powerful.
It's very powerful.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys felt that tension a little bit maybe too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, as Lutherans, the strong word of law here makes me, a little nervous and, oh no, it's telling us, we have to work harder and things. But then I remember that I get to read these through the lens of the cross and what Christ has done for me, and how by his spirit he lives in me so that I can do these things. I actually can now love my neighbor and and love God as opposed to fear him and hate him as Martin Luther almost did in his struggle with faith. And so that's the good news that I can read out of this through the cross.
Yeah, in a way, even fear is redeemed. You know, I just think of the difference between like terror, or I think Spurgeon calls it like slavish fear or son fear. You know, such a different fear. You think of the throwing your kid up in the air is a very different kind of fear than the threatening fear. But even in our catechism, you know, so many of the commandments start, we should fear, love God. You know, what is that? What does this mean? Jeremy, you're a confessions teacher. What does this mean?
Yeah, well, I was thinking about this passage too from like both of them. We can approach them from two different perspectives. Like the heart of the text itself, like just before the Deuteronomy passages that were in 10, in 6 is the Shema, the like, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. He's like proclaiming a gospel of identity over the people. Like the gospel is already here, this identity. And so if we approach this passage from the place of like God has claimed us and called us, then it becomes a we get to, not we have to.
Yeah.
And then it becomes like, oh, like it, because in the very next verse, actually, it says that this is for your good. Like in 13, it talks about like, hey, these commands are for your good. And then you flash forward to the Johannine passage where like John is writing to a church that's fighting each other. And then he says, like, this is how love is made whole in you. This is how it's made perfect. And he goes on in 4 to talk about like this perfect love that casts out fear and this whole love. But then the tension is in that, like, hey, there's no fear in this love because fear is about punishment. But our tendency is to approach it from the identity of I have to do in order to.
Yeah.
Not the posture of it has been done for me. Yeah, I've been claimed. And so therefore God is putting in me this supernatural ability to love like he loves.
Yeah.
Through the empowering presence of the Spirit.
Yeah. I mean, I think it has to move us to that proclamation point, you know, here. And I want to even, this is more than a theological discussion, but how you hear this, dear listener, is actually really key. The love of God is in you, and it is going to lead toward wholeness. It's going to lead, you know, the word is related to telos.
Yeah.
Like it has an end. It is going somewhere. You are going somewhere, but it is not through your own action or initiative. It's through the gracious initiative of God himself. And what he's put in you is not nebulous. It's actually love. He has put love in you. The love of God has actually been given to you. God would say it personally, I have put my love in you. You are my beloved son. He speaks that so clearly, so directly, and so to you and for you. My shepherd's voice today sounded like this. Beloved, there's no way not to live in a world of shoulds and shouldn'ts, do's and don'ts, thou shalt and thou shalt nots. But that doesn't bring perfection. My love for you doesn't reward your obedience. My love is the source of your obedience, new life. Your disobedience isn't solved away, wiped away, forgotten away. It's loved away. If you want to be obedient, then know yourself fully, perfectly, as the beloved, which leads us to give thanks.
Let's pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks that we live in relationship with you. You live in relationship with us. And that relationship goes beyond just sets of rules that we have to try to measure up to. Lord, that it's an indwelling relationship. You live in us by your Holy Spirit so that we can walk in reverent fear of you and love. We can walk in the way that you've set before us. We can serve those that you've put around us with all our heart and with all our soul. And so, Lord, we thank you for that indwelling presence and power. And we pray that you would continue to use us.
I just think of the prayer of repentance for me. I have a coat image in my head. Here I am, not usually in cold weather, but I have been this week, and some days have been wet and some days have been cold. And so what am I going to wear? And I think of my life almost like that. What am I going to wear? Self-chosen. And yet you have given me the garment I need. You have clothed me with your love. And I pray that I could return to that today and again and again and again, to live out of the love that you've given me inside and out. We pray for others.
Lord, as we hear these passages, we call out to you that you would set us free from slavish fear, from something that would keep us hindered or afraid that somehow we couldn't earn your favor or something. In that bent thinking, Lord, just relieve us of that and restore in us just a deep sense of our belovedness in Christ. Help us to hear your voice and to be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit, not out of our own efforts or out of our own sense of earning, but Lord, may our lives really reflect what you have done and who you are. May we be a blessing, Lord, wherever you take us today. To whomever we are brought into encounter today, Lord, may we speak your goodness and your truth and your love. And whether we're just in a normal setting or you're taking us to some out-of-the-way place, Lord, may we simply live as ambassadors of you as a response to your great love and grace shown to us.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We'll sing the last verse of How Deep the Father's Love for Us.
I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom.
Whatever your daily grind may be, know that you are grounded in the grace of Jesus Christ. Yes, I am.